like I said, we'll just go through the story through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We'll kind of start with Matthew, but we'll kind of be able to jump back and forth with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, all the other the epistles, and just take a look and see. I want to say, let me pray first. Heavenly Father, I just ask you, God, Lord, that you just invade this space right here, God, as we just rest upon you, God, and we trust in you, God, Lord, and we thank you, God, Lord, that you're faithful. We thank you for your word to God. I pray to God, Lord, that we just don't look at it as just a stories, but God, Lord, but a release of who you are into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, I'm not going to go with the birth of Christ. We all know that. You know what I mean? There's just some powerful things in that. I want to save that part till kind of like in December, where I'm going to talk about that, the prophetic meaning of so many different things. And it's exciting to see that and see how that most of the birth of Christ, the prophetic and all that, I will take you and go side by side in Revelations. And what we sometimes stand back and say, oh my God, that's so scary, this and that. You're going to be in awe of saying, oh my goodness. You know what I mean? This is about Jesus. Because it is the book of the Bible that tells you what's it about before you start. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. So, that's what we're going to do. But right now, I'm going to take you, let's look at Matthew 3. Matthew 3. And we're just going to start with this because I just feel that we're going to see the journey that Jesus brings us in and how that God steps in the flesh and reveals himself. Now, we got to understand as we read the Bible, we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's why it's so important, because if you want to know the heart of the Father, you got to see the expression that Jesus reveals the heart of the Father to us as he walks in the flesh. He reveals God's heart, the Father's heart. He reveals it to us as you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the evidence. This is the eyewitness accounts of these disciples that reveal to us the heart of the Father. And that's what's so beautiful about it, because sometimes we get misled. Sometimes we got to go back and we got to read it. We got to read it. We got to see what did Jesus do? How did he express? How did he deal with these situations? How did he deal with it? And see what Jesus looks like. Amen. See what the Father looks like. So let's just go here. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. Now, I could just stop right there. I don't know how far I'm going to get. I'm going to try to get to the Beatitudes. That's only 3. That starts in 5. So that's not very far, but we'll see if we can get there. I'm going to have a hard time, because when Cindy prayed, she prayed something about her wilderness. I can't remember. And when she prayed that, it spoke to my heart that it reminded me of John the Baptist, that I need to be preaching in my wilderness. I can't just get caught up in everything going, but what am I preaching? I am preaching Jesus. Amen. I am preaching the entrance in the midst of this wilderness that you're going through. Now, the thing that's so powerful about John is that John was, he's been in the wilderness a long time to this point. You got to understand something. This isn't something where he just went there and, no, he's been there a long time. Come on, he's been there a long time. And he's walking in a word that is nobody else experienced. Amen. He's the last prophet of the Old Testament, and he's the last one. Amen. He was the last one stepping into this new covenant that was going to be released, that Jesus was going to fulfill. Now, I just want you to see this, because it's so powerful. He says, in those days, John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he had a word that he came forth with, and he was relentless with. He didn't stop. He didn't give up. He kept pressing on. He kept declaring it. He says, for this is he that spoke of the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight the path. Now, I'm going to jump down here and go back. But he said, John had his raiment of camel's clothes. This is what he wore. He had a leather girdle. I just think about this outfit and I'm thinking, my goodness. This is what he wore. And this is what he ate. It says that he ate locusts and wild honey. Now, there, to me, it's bitter and sweet. And I believe there's something powerful in this for us, but to see that even though sometimes the wilderness seems bitter, we got to be able to see the sweet too. I mean, we can't just see the bitterness, because there's a lot of things that go on around us that we see that part of it. But we got to be eating the honey too. Come on, amen. We just can't be partaking of the bitterness. The world is of the world, but we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen. So that we could partake, we could be around it. Amen. But it's not going to be in us. Amen. We could be of the world, but it's not in me. Come on, amen. And there's something happens that when you go through things in life, you can't let that bitterness take over. You need to be overwhelmed with the honey of the Lord. Amen. You need to be overwhelmed with the Word of God. So he began to preach. He kept preaching. He kept declaring, make way, repent. That means change your ways. Amen. That means let there be a turnaround that of the way you're thinking. And so he's declaring something to these people. There's got to be a turnaround in your thinking. That we taught, you prayed that, where that there's got to be a place of repentance, where that we repent, we change the way that we think about things, the way that we think about God, amen. Because there's a corrupted way that man has thought about God and who God was and his attitude towards people. And Jesus came to completely destroy the view that man had of God. All right. So there was a turning, and it was from the body, soul, to the spirit. When I repent, that means that there's a turning from the body and the soul where that man lives out of that place. We live out of that realm. But God says, I want there to be a turning so that you begin to live out of the Spirit. Amen? So there be a voice in you that cries out of the midst of your wilderness. I really feel that right there. That there be a voice crying out of the midst of our wilderness. That we got to be faithful. I wrote this down. Faithful in the wilderness. You got to be faithful in the wilderness. Here's why. Because I want you to know, as he kept preaching, John began to speak this, and you can read in John, he's not John the Baptist, the epistle John, but he declared this. We could just look at it real quick. I just want you to see this. All right? I'm just going to take my time for a second. I just want us to see these couple things. He said this. Now this is John the Baptist. He's preaching this word. If you're faithful in your wilderness, this is what will happen. He said, the next day, John seen Jesus coming unto him. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now that's pretty powerful, because if you're faithful in your wilderness, Jesus will show up. Now he's preaching this word. He's standing there and he's baptizing people. Amen. That God told him there was a prophetic word to go baptize people. And it was a baptism of repentance. It was a baptism of repentance. That's what this was. It was a washing away of sins. And it was an opportunity for all those to come and be baptized. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, this was this opportunity to repent, to change your ways, to prepare your heart, amen. And this is something powerful, because there's a baptism that takes place. There's a repentance of our hearts to make way for God in the midst of wherever you're going through. Make way for the Lord. Make your path straight. How do we do that? There's not something that there's a forgiveness. There's things that we hold on to sometimes. There's cares that we got to make way for the Lord. Amen. That God will enter in. That sometimes we got to get some physically. I got to begin to emotionally. Sometimes I got to press some things. Sometimes there's some thoughts that try to interrupt my place with God. Come on. Amen. There's some things. So I got to begin to change my thinking and to begin to think a different way that God can show up. So many times we don't change our thinking. We stay in that mode and our problems show up. Our situations show up. Our bitterness shows up, our anger shows up, our hurts show up, and all those things, they will show up. But Jesus, this is powerful because it's so that Jesus showed up in the midst of that because he preached repentance. Change your ways. Turn to God. The way you're thinking. Because Jesus is going to make the way. If you let him. If you let him. Amen. So there's something that we really do that honestly, as we as his children, as disciples, we got to give him place. Man, I just feel that as we pray tonight, that we give him place to show up wherever it is. Whether it's your wilderness, it's easy to let him show up in our good times. But it's tough sometimes, man. It's tough times to you know, because you really, I mean, you feel like everything's against you. Amen? So, and just a quick note, though. Listen, this is powerful because this is what's so awesome. Because he said, behold the Lamb of God. What does he say? We know the scripture. Behold the Lamb of God. Who what? He takes away the sin of the world. Now, I don't think it's coincidence, but here's what happens. That was one day. The next day. Again, the next day, this is in John. He said, the next day, he stood with his disciples, this is John the Baptist, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said to him, behold the Lamb of God. Now this time, he didn't say, who takes away the sin of the world. He just says, just behold. So listen, I want us to recognize something. At the cross, he took away our sin. So I got to keep beholding the Lamb of God. For what he's already done. Who took away the sin of the world? The Lamb of God. So how do you keep it at bay? How do you keep your heart right? Behold the Lamb of God. Just keep beholding. Come on, amen. Just keep beholding him. Just keep beholding him. I think about this moment. I want everybody just to think about this. That here comes Jesus stepping on the scene. John the Baptist, who doesn't really, I don't think he knew who the Messiah was, but when he seen him, everything within him said, behold. There was no doubt. You know what I'm saying? Everything, every fiber, every area of his life just stood up and said, oh, the Lamb of God. I love that. Amen. So here he is. Here's this guy shows up wearing locusts. Or eating locusts, leather girdle, I don't know what that is, I can't explain that, and camel hair jacket. I know Elton John talked about a mohair suit, you remember that back years ago, there was a song, and he said, what did he say, I can't remember, but something about a mohair, you know what mohair is, it's like fake fur, whatever, but I think of that whenever, that. So here he is, this camel hair jacket, which, it doesn't seem comfortable to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't feel like it's something I'd want to wear. You know, it's scratchy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's something that just, like, my parents used to make us wear these suits, and they were, what was it, polyester? Yeah, remember those polyester suits? You know what I'm saying? With the stitching. You know, the stitching was like white stitching, whatever. What's that? Yeah, they were just so uncomfortable. Like the material, you know what I'm talking about? The material was like very, and the collars were real big. You know, my parents dressed my brother and I very similar. So like we both had the same suit. So I remember that. But so here we go. So and then he went out to Judea. He said he went out preaching, baptizing, confessing their sins. He said, but listen to this. But many of those, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they came to him baptizing. He said unto them, O generation of vipers. This is some boldness, man. Now he's trying to, you got to hear this. This is the last of the old prophets. So he's still got that Old Testament, Old Commandment, like, lingo. He's coming out of that place. Amen. Jesus was going to take us into a new covenant, but he was preparing the way. So he's still in that place, that phase where that he calls them these vipers. You know, he what a way that, hey, you bunch of vipers. He says, who warned you to flee from wrath to come. Bring forth your fruits of repentance. Now, he tells them, you need to bring forth your... Now, these are the ones that are supposed to be the leaders. These are the ones that God put within them to lead this generation, and they couldn't do it. These are the priests. These are the examples that were supposed to lead the people, and they weren't doing their job because they couldn't do it. It had to be through God. We understand that. You know what I'm saying? That it had to be through God. So we failed miserably. We couldn't get to God without God. I can't love God without God. So that's why God came in the flesh. I receive him into my life in the spirit. So I receive God in me is the hope of glory. So now Christ in me is the hope of glory, that now I have God in me so I could love God because God's in me, helping me to love him. Just think about that. He says, so here's these Pharisees. He says, they're, and, you know, they think they got it all together. And he tells them, he says, bring your fruit. And then he said this, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Now he's talking about this old commandment, the law of man trying to get to God out of their deeds, out of their works, out of their own strength. And he says that, therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. He tells them bring fruit, and then he says, listen, they didn't bring any fruit. So he tells them, he says, guess what? The trees that don't bring forth fruit are going to be cut down. Wow. And they know he's talking about them. These are supposed to be bearing fruit. Do you remember where Jesus was walking and he looked at the fig and it wasn't bearing fruit? And he cursed it. Remember he cursed the fig tree? And then went back and they were like, oh, look. He says, look, I forget. Peter said, look, oh my goodness. He says, it's dead. It was prophetic. He says that there was coming to an end of an old order of the commandments unto a new covenant that we were going to step into. So that old covenant of man trying to get to God, man's abilities, that it's what you do, it's how you dress, it's how you walk, it's about all these things, about all these laws, trying to perform it. And you say to yourself, why did God do that? Because here's why. Because man always thinks they can do it without God. So in due time, God continued to reveal that, man, you cannot do this without me. Amen? So that's why God, in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, God showed them, told Adam and Eve, just trust in me, walk with me, stay in this relationship. Just tend the garden. Just tend the garden. See the way it is? Just keep it that way. But that's not what they did. So we're at that place where he says, turn and repent. So here, let's just go. And he says, there's one coming mightier than me that will baptize you with fire, whose fan is hand. He will thoroughly purge the floor and gather the wheat in the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So I want you to see something. It is the fire of God that burns, the zeal of God, the hunger of God that burns all that stuff that wears you down. All the stuff that, you know, what are the tares? The tares are what grows up with the wheat. It's like John was eating locust and honey. It's bitter and sweet. As we go in life, there's things that grow up with us, and we got to be able to identify those things and realize this isn't of God, and whether I accept it and let it be part of my life, or I let it be burned up. So many times we make covenants with things that God doesn't agree with for your lives. There's things that we come in relationship. There's things that we become bound to that God says, I don't desire you to do that. Don't be bound with those things. Sometimes there's cares. Sometimes there's whatever those things are that weigh us down, that wear us out. But God says, listen, He's the fire that burns all that stuff out. So, He says, then cometh Jesus from the Galilee of the Jordan. He says, but He forbade. He said to him, He asked him, He told John. Remember, this is Jesus coming to John the Baptist and saying, He says, it is for you to baptize me today. Now, this is powerful because we all understand that, how many of you guys know that Jesus did not need to be baptized with John's baptism? Because John's baptism was a repentant baptism. Well, Jesus didn't have nothing to repent for. Amen? But the reason why Jesus was repenting, because He was repenting not out of something He did, but on your behalf. He was repenting for you as an intercessor. Listen, that's the heart of God. He's stepping in on your behalf. That's what we do when we come here and pray. That's what we do when we pray. We stand on other people's behalf. We have the heart of Christ. We're praying for those ones that don't even know they need God. Listen, here's the thing. Listen, I just want to say this. Can I say this real quick? And I've told you guys the stories about the times where there's people that I prayed for. And there was a guy that I told you guys before where he passed away before I thought he really repented and all this stuff like that. Our job is not to save them. Jesus has already done that. They just don't know it yet. Our job is just to pray, to intercede on their behalf, okay? And to be faithful with that. Just be faithful with that. So whenever they come to that place of repentance, we trust God that He's faithful to hear our prayers. We're there for a reason. So keep praying. And if we don't always see it the way it turns out, or we're not sure why this is this way, that way, just trust God to know that we're just doing our job and let God do His job. Because if we try to worry about God doing His job, you're going to be frustrated. Promise you. I get frustrated trying to do God's job, and God says, just let me do my job. But God, listen, if you did it this way. So He tells John the Baptist, He says, listen, I want you to baptize me. He says, man, I'm not worthy for you to. But He baptized Jesus. And when He did, the heavens were open. See, Jesus brought forth repentance by Him doing that as an act of faith. It opened up the heavens. Now, I want you to see something, because those heavens were locked tight. The Bible says that the enemy, Satan, is his powers, principalities of the air. Come on, amen. So there was a blockage. The Bible talks about it in Daniel, where that he says that the angel come to him 20-some days later and says, listen, the angel came before him. He says, and Daniel didn't give up praying. And he's seen that 20-some days later, the angel broke through. There was a barrier that was holding back, but Daniel kept praying, and there was a breaking of the heavens for the angel to get victory on his behalf. And Daniel realized, man, if I would have quit, I wouldn't have got that breakthrough. So I want you to see this. That's what intercession does. It opens up the heavens for a release into somebody's lives, into whatever area that might be. Come on, amen. Wherever a victory can be. So Jesus shows us that here's this repentance. That's what repentance does. It opens up the heavens for others and for our own lives. That's what repentance does. That's what a place of having a repentant heart where that, Father, God, Lord, make a way. God, whatever needs to get out of the way, God, Lord, let it get out of the way. That my heart's right to God, Lord. That You have access to my life to God, Lord. That there's not something blocking. That most of the time, sometimes there's natural things that we block. Whether whatever that might be, is doubts, and whether there's anger issues. That's why the Bible says, bless God, don't blame God. It says, bless the Lord with all my heart and everything that's within me. We have a tendency to blame God. So when we begin to blame God, it shuts up the heavens. But when we bless God, it opens up the heavens. Amen? So here we go, and he says, and then Jesus, when he was baptized, he went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw that the Spirit of God descending like a dove, which is a spirit, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, like a dove. It wasn't a dove, but it was like a dove. And man, that's a whole study that we could do sometimes about what are doves? Like, they're characteristics of a dove. It's beautiful. It's powerful symbolism. But he says, enlightening upon him. Now, this is what I understand that we got to know, that Jesus Christ came, he was born as a man in the flesh. The Bible says in Philippians 2, 5 and 6, it says that he laid aside his glory, the power, he laid it aside, put it aside, and came as a man, just like us. Now, I want you to see this as powerful. He was still God. This is one of the mysteries. He was still God, but he was all man. But he relinquished his power. Now, some people have a hard time saying, oh, no, there's no way. I cannot believe any other way, but that's the truth. Here's why, and I could give you a bunch of scriptures. I don't have time right now, but I do have a bunch of scriptures that declare that. And this is what I mean by this, because if Jesus came just as God and walked in all the power that he had when he was in heaven, he led by example. How could I say, well, that there's no possible way that I could do what he did? But I can say with hope, no, Jesus came in the flesh. He relinquished, set aside his power. Now, here's what I mean, because here's what does this say? It says that the heavens are open and power, lightning, power ignited him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Think about this. He, just like every one of us, he submitted to the power of the Holy Spirit to lead him. Just think about this. I mean, this is God Almighty submitting to the Holy Spirit to lead him, because it says it led him into the wilderness. If he was all God and wasn't moved by the Holy Spirit, so he had authority, but he didn't have power. He came with authority from heaven. When you're born again, you have authority. But when you're filled with the Spirit, you have power. And listen, I want you to know that, listen, in your experiences, you gain power. The things you go through in life, you begin to access power. What do I mean by that? Because it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. It is not my strength, but the power of God. There's an exchange that takes place. Just like Jesus relinquished his power to take on our humanity, we got to relinquish our humanity and take on his power. You see what I mean? Does that make sense? Any questions? Because I know that sometimes it's, you know, we make it more complicated than it really is. But I think that's so powerful, because literally there's some people that don't believe that. I don't know how you cannot believe that, because that's Jesus came in the flesh, the Bible says. But yet there's a mystery of knowing that he was all God and he was all man. Okay? So here he was, and it was an example to us as he was led by the Spirit to show this is how you walk as a son in the earth. So it was, as we walk, as you read this and see this, his experiences, this is our experience that God desires us to walk with. This is how I want you to walk it out. It's not impossible, because it's with God. Without God, it's impossible. Am I making sense? All right. Okay, so in verse 17, I love this part too. He says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying this, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am.'" Okay, now let's get this in a heart. Before Jesus did anything to please his Father, he was well pleased. Here's why. I wrote this down. He says, he was already his child. He is pleased how he made you. He is pleased with the way that he made you. What happens is, here's the problem. We're not pleased with what we accept in our lives. When we're displeased with things, it's because we're displeased with things that we add that God didn't put in us. Does that make sense? Where there's some things that we live with that God didn't make us that way. God didn't create us that way. And we walk in ways that God didn't intend us to walk in. Accepting things in our lives. Instability in different things. Inferior complexes. What's that?
Say it again.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, all those things. I mean, there's different things that we get that sometimes we walk in things that God didn't intend us to walk in. So he's saying, listen, I am pleased with you with the way that I created you, with who you are in me. If you begin to see things outside of the way that I see you, that's not the way I'm intended you to be. God's not pleased with that. But he's pleased with you the way that he made you. Now, when you walk in outside of the way that God intends you to walk with, God intends us to walk in a sinless life. Amen? But do we sin? We still make mistakes. But God doesn't want you to see yourself from that place. He wants you to see yourself from the place that he sees you. And that's what will empower you. That's what will quicken you. That's what will cause you to go through your wildernesses and make it to the other side. So here it was. I want you to know that everybody, even Jesus, John the Baptist, all these ones in the Bible, they always have a wilderness. Sucks. Yeah, you're dry places, you know what I'm saying? It's all those. But there's some things that happens in the wilderness. Listen, it's where God leads you. Wherever God leads you, he provides for you. That's what we got to be confident with. If God is with you, which we know that he is, God will provide. Amen? Try to look for God in the middle of your wilderness. That's just something we got to keep in mind. When we're in wilderness, you got to look for God. The wilderness is a preparation, not a permanence. It's not a permanent place. Amen? It's just a preparation that something's being prepared in your heart. Now, I want you to see that Jesus went through this place to be tested. Not that he would fail, but for God for us to see, this is how you walk things out. This is how you go through the wilderness. And I just think that he started off his job before he did anything else. He went through a wilderness season to show us how to get through it. All right? Now, this is what's powerful, because this is what he says. When he goes into this place, he says, "And Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, not of God, but of the devil." He says that the revealing of the power of God would be revealed. That's what happens in the midst. There's an opportunity for God's power to be revealed in your life. He says, "And when the tempter came," now I'm not going to go through this whole thing, but I'm just going to read these first parts. You ready for this? When the devil came, what did he say? "It is written." This is how you get through. Come on, this is how you get through. This is how you get through. There's no other way. Jesus shows us. He makes it clear to us. This is how you get through the wilderness. This is how you face the devil. When the devil's tempting you, when the devil, whatever your situation, is tempting you to believe something that's not true, you need to declare, it is written. Whenever you're hungry, whenever you feel empty. Come on, amen. There's every one of us, sometimes we feel empty. We feel empty. Sometimes we feel that place where that, man, we feel wore out. And Jesus said this, it is written. And the last time, the third time he was tempted, he said, Satan, for it is written.
Wow.
And after that, it says, and then the devil left him. He was going to come back, but he left them because he couldn't handle it no more. He says, and the angels came and they ministered unto Jesus. That's a powerful example to see that, listen, that there's ministering angels that God wants to release in your lives and my life. So, Father God, I pray right now, God, ministering angels upon these people as we declare your word, God, that we don't fight on the enemy's soil. Come on, amen. If you fight on the enemy's soil, you will be defeated. But if we fight on God's soil, that means that when we argue with God, but when we agree with God, we're standing on God's soil. Hallelujah. And the enemy has no choice. When we complain and we get bitter and we get angry, that's standing on the enemy's soil and the enemy wins. He wins. But I will not fight on the soil of the enemy. Hallelujah. I will not stay in that place, but I will agree with the Father. I will agree with what the Father says about me in that place. Even though you feel hungry, even though you feel weary, even though you're thirsty, even though you feel like no one's with you, you feel like you're going to give up. You keep declaring God's word over your life. You keep declaring the word of your situation, over your family, over whatever that means. And I release right now in Jesus' name, ministering angels in your life. To minister you, hallelujah, Father God. Because God, Lord, we can't get through things in our lives without you, Father God. So we stand upon your word. We will be relentless. We will not stop. We will declare your word. We will believe what you say, God. Release your angels right now, Father God. Release your angels in Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. Wow. Where did time go? Holy cow. Okay. Fast. All right, let me get to the end here real quick. Let me finish here. So, I said this, yeah, don't fight the devil on his field. That's in disagreement with God. But build on the rock, which is his word. It's unshakable. It's unshakable. Build upon it. I'm going to tell you something. Listen, guys, I build foundations. And you know what's so hard? Is you got to go down to go up. To build the right foundation, you got to go deep. Man, people tell me all the time, man, you know, we didn't want to dig it that deep. You're going to have trouble. Dig deep. You want a sure foundation? Dig deep. And the hardest thing sometimes, when you get there, you look at the prints, you see a picture of what it looks like, and there's nothing there. It's just footers in the ground, just flat. You start with one block. One block. You take that block and you lay it. And then you lay the next. You put your head down. And you go one after the other. And before you know it, it's done. That's the hardest thing to do because sometimes I'm telling you, my guy says, oh, this is going to be. I said, guys, it'll be done before you know it. So he says, and now when Jesus heard that John, let me go here. And Jesus said this, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That word repent means to change your mind. Have a different way. Look, Jesus was, he himself was declaring, repent, change your mind about my Father. I'm going to change your mind about the way that you see my Father, about way all those liars, the way that the enemy used supposedly God's people to influence people. I'm going to change your mind about who you really are, about the way that God sees you. Let's think about this. The way God sees sickness, the way God sees disease, because these ones would say stuff like this. They would say that they would have to cover themselves up, that if you had leprosy, you weren't able to get near them, that you had to tell them, I'm a leper, unclean, unclean, unclean. They would have to announce it. Jesus came and he healed them of it, come on, amen, and took it away. Here's Jesus who the Sadducees and Pharisees, if you touched it, you became unclean. Jesus reversed it, changed their mind, says, no, if I touch you, you'll be clean. Amen. The Sadducees and Pharisees says, if you touch somebody, whatever you touch is unclean. Jesus says, no, I'm going to consume it. I'm going to touch it and clean it. Wow. See the difference there? Jesus flipped it on up. Woo! Heaven began to speak into the earth. He says, no, this is how you change things. He says, that was man's way saying, I'm unclean, everybody have to stay away. But Jesus says, no, get me near it, let me touch it, and I'll heal it. All right? So he says, and Jesus was walking, and here, this is what he was. If you want to look and see, in John, John gives a greater detail of all the disciples and every experience that they all had. Like how that when he introduced them, when he came to them, it's more detailed about the different, the first encounter that they had with Jesus. And I love that. But it's nice to see both of them. Some people, there's contradictions. No, listen, I could be standing in one position and see things a different way than you can. It's the same thing, but it's just told a different way. Amen? I mean, it's the same thing. You're just looking at it a different way. That if you go tell the story, well, you were over here seeing it this way. Well, you were standing over here. I see, I had a different view of completely what the way things were. But it was all the same. It was just a different detail. So let me finish. And Jesus, walking by the sea, says, Simon, he called these ones, and he said, unto them, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. Follow me. Come after me. This is something that every one of his disciples, for us to be a disciple, we got to follow him. He doesn't follow us. The blind don't lead. He says, you have to follow me. That's a hard thing to do sometimes. It's not always easy. But those who do will find a reward. And he said, make straight, left their nets, and they followed him. And he says, and as they were going, he says, they went in Zebedee, he says, and they found these other ones. And what were they doing? They were mending their nets. I just think that word's powerful because they were mending. They were trying to piece things together to make it work. So I love that about Jesus, because Jesus shows up. And I tell you right now, I try to mend things together sometimes. Don't you? I mean, I try to mend things together. I try to patch things together to make them work. And Jesus is showing them something totally different. He says, no, cast your cares upon me. Quit trying to mend this thing. It's not going to work. Give it to me. Follow me. So, he left the ship, his father, and he followed him. So Jesus went about Galilee teaching. This is where, when he began the journey, this is what he did. I want you to see this and I'm done. He says, Jesus went about Galilee teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness. Say all manner. He didn't accept anything. He didn't come in agreement with anything else. He came against everything that was a sickness. He says, in every manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and he brought unto him all the sick. This is why I believe, I believe in miracles. I desire to see miracles. Because I'm telling you, I believe this. I believe that when others see the hand of God and they get the glory, God gets the glory for somebody being healed, somebody being completely transformed by the power of God. Amen? In a place of us coming, a place of repentance. That's why the enemy does not want us to believe in miracles. Because why? Because if we stand and agree with it and begin to see it happen, guess what? They will come. And and it's not like we're doing it for miracles. We're saying this, but people are in awe of God because it's only God that can do these things. So that's why I desire them. I desire miracles, and I'll keep believing it. Because why? Because Jesus desired it. To heal all. I desire for all sicknesses to be. Every one of them. Like Renee said, even a pimple. Seriously. I like that she said that. And it says, he says, in the fame throughout Syria, and they brought unto him all the sick people that were taken of diverse diseases, torments. And those which were possessed with devils. And those that were lunatics, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. And he followed him great multitudes. They followed him with great multitudes. There was no denying that he was God. Amen? There's no denying that. So I want you to hear this and know that, listen, sometimes I feel that we're in a place of intercession, believing and standing. And when you open up the door to the obedience of God's word, the enemy will try to stop you from going through that door. Every time Jesus got in a boat and he went to a new shore, we're going to go through that and look at this. Every time he had opposition. Anytime you go to a new place with God, there's going to be opposition. But he is with you. I was listening to a song today a guy wrote, and it was a word that he told his wife that he didn't tell anybody else, Martin Luther King. That he was in his house, he was sitting in his kitchen, it was late at night, everybody was in bed. And he was... Everything was coming against him because he was coming against racism. He was telling people to do it out of love through the Word of God, declaring the Word of God, declaring God's Word. He was speaking from that place, and it was contrary to everybody else. Everybody's like, no, we got to do it with anger. We got to do it this. We got to do that. He was saying love, love, love. People were coming against him because he was joining with white people, you know. So there was this anger against him. So he's standing there. And he's sitting in his kitchen, and late at night, the phone rings. And someone on the other said to him, he says, if you don't stop what you're doing, you and your family will die. And at that moment, he began to cry out to God and said, God, I'm scared. I'm afraid. I need you, God, to know that you're with me. And as he was sitting there, as he was just sitting in that place, just praying and just crying, bawling, he said he was crying, like just ready to give up, ready to quit. He began to hear God say to him, Martin, I am with you. He said, that's all I needed to hear. From that moment on, he never stopped. Even though he went to his grave. I'm here to tell you, God never left him. Either did he leave Stephen when Stephen was stoned. He never left him. Because Stephen, when he was standing there, he looked up and he seen Jesus' face right before him. Even in the midst of that persecution, Jesus was right there. I never left you. Amen? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your people. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, Lord, that we could just, I pray to God, Lord, just a continual excitement about your word. I pray as we read your word to God, Lord, that we just, I pray for just a love for your word to God, Lord, as we enter in, as we begin to walk through this journey of reading your word, experiencing who you are and what you've done to God, Lord, in your word, how you reveal yourself, God, Lord. I pray to God, Lord, just for greater revelation upon each person here. I pray for the spirit of revelation to come upon us, God, like never before. I pray for a hunger for the word of God to just break forth in us, God. In your name we pray. Amen.